This is Jay Sekulow. It's Open Line Friday. We're going to talk about politics, policy, and breaking news.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. It's Friday, and on Fridays, we, from time to time, do an open line program. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to take your calls. We've got a full panel here. Harry Hutchinson's here. Wes Smith's here. Andy Economo's here. Jordan and I are here. Fans up in Washington. So we got the whole team here, and we want to take your calls, and you pick the topic. And I could tell by the phones already lighting up, people are already picking those topics. So 1-800-684-3110. We do have a couple things we want to talk about. We're going to talk about politics. We're going to talk about what's next in the Congress. And there's a vote coming up on a major life issue. I want to go to Than Bennett. What's the story on that one, Than?
Yeah, a lot of activity in Washington, D.C. Jay will get kicked off on Monday in the United States Senate, where the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act that was put forward by Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska will get a vote in the United States Senate. Now, Jay, we've talked about this before, but it's going to be difficult to get to that 60-vote threshold to protect these babies who are born alive and breathing on a table in need of medical care. But, Jay, we've said it before. It's so important to get everybody on the record so that when they have to go to the polls and tell their voters that they are in favor of defending life that is born alive, we can point to a vote and tell their voters whether or not that's the truth. So that will be Monday night in the United States Senate. It's going to be the beginning of a big week. A couple other big votes, Jay, that we might get to later.
What do you think will happen, Fan, on that one?
I think it's going to fall short of the 60 that is needed, but Jay, I do think there will be 4, 5, or 6 Democrats that will vote with most Republicans, so I think you'll have a vote tally somewhere in the mid-50s, so a clear majority of the United States Senate
in
favor of it.
You know, even if it doesn't pass, which it won't because it wouldn't pass the House of Representatives anyways, the fact that you would get a majority of the United States Senate speaking up, taking up for life, I think those are positive moves, and it also gets people off record. And you, as we are entering now in election season, by the way, cover of Time magazine certainly indicates that. Who's running for president in 2020? And there's a whole list. There was a couple we didn't even know that we really didn't think were going to be running that are apparently may be running. So you got a lot of movement on the Democratic side. Also, we have a little bit of an update on the ISIS bride. The United States, under the Obama administration, said, in fact, she was not a citizen of the United States.
That's right. Denied her request back in 2016. So there was precedent for Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, and President Trump to announce that decision that ultimately the fact that she is not an American, she's not entitled to a U.S. passport, and that this has got precedent behind it from the Obama administration. So that's important. The families filed a lawsuit in D.C., alleging that she is an American citizen, so we'll keep you updated on that, the ISIS bride. Also, then, in the House has scheduled a vote on the disapproval of the wall. I think the big question is not so much does the House pass it, but because it's a Democrat-controlled House, but by what number, and then does it go anywhere in the Senate, and is there any real likelihood of something that could be veto-proof?
Yeah, Speaker Pelosi's announced that vote will be Tuesday in the House of Representatives, Jordan. And if it's Tuesday or even if it slips, it is going to pass the House. There are 225 co-sponsors of it. All but one are Democrats. So, Jordan, it would be voted out of the House, which would mean it would have privileged status in the United States Senate. They would have to take it up on a simple majority vote sometime in the next 2 weeks. It may clear the Senate, Jordan, but really, I mean, honestly, you and I talked about this at length on air last couple of days. It's really irrelevant because it's not going to clear the veto-proof margin after the president vetoes it, even if it gets to him in either chamber, Jordan. They're not going to have the votes in the House or the Senate to override that veto. So, yes, we are going to see action on Tuesday in the House of Representatives and sometime in the next 2 weeks in the United States Senate, but that will be far from the end of the story on that one.
All right, folks, we'll take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 on Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments in. You can take those during the show and during the breaks. We stay live on Facebook and Periscope, 1-800-684-3110. And one of the questions I would like, it's Open Line Friday, but one of the questions I would like, who do you think would be the strongest candidate on the Democratic side to take on President Trump? I'd like your opinion on that. You know, most of us listening are probably conservatives, but I like your idea of who you thought would be, who you
especially
think would be the
strongest. We've got some people that are listening that aren't conservative.
Yeah, and if you're not,
I'd love to hear from Democrats
who's
or independents.
Yeah,
just kind of Open Friday. That's what we get to do. 1-800-684-3110.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I guess I should start, but I really like that tune, so I'm going to play that tune at the end of the broadcast. Just since it's a Friday, we could do that. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and we had an interesting question that came in, and we'll go to the phones. Periscope comment, will the question of her citizenship be heard by the courts? We've already talked about this with our audience on Periscope and on Facebook, but I want to do it for our radio audience. So I'll start with Andy, then we'll do it just like we just did. Andy?
Yes, the answer is it will be heard by the courts because that's the issue in the case, and a judge is going to make the determination as a matter of law as to whether or not she is a U.S. citizen.
And I asked the question, Wes, she comes back into the United States, even if she was a citizen, and doesn't appear that legally she was, she'd be arrested immediately and charged with aiding and abetting the enemy.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Obama administration is sending a letter from their State Department saying that her passport was not valid because she was not a citizen. I think the judge will take that into consideration. But as I said during the break, without her being here, she could go ahead and be indicted on terrorism charges. And I think that if we went ahead and indicted her and let her family and her know through her family that she's been indicted on multiple terrorism charges, it might be a wake-up call to her, and she may decide that she would rather live somewhere else other than to spend possible decades in a federal prison.
So, Harry, I asked you this also, and that is the argument is the determination of her citizenship in part does depend on how her family was here.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So it depends on the passport under which her family came to the United States. And so the Obama administration initially determined that she was not a citizen and notified her family that it was revoking her passport in January of 2016.
President Barack Obama. It was his Justice Department then.
Yes.
That was doing this. Okay.
Precisely. So under the Immigration and Nationality Act, a person born in the U.S., to an accredited foreign diplomatic officer is not subject to U.S. law and is not automatically considered a U.S. citizen at birth. So it was the judgment of the Obama administration in 2016, much earlier than Hoda's remorseful statements recently about the fact that she was misled or whatever, that really count. So basically, both the Obama administration and the Trump administration agree that she is not a U.S. citizen, hence she's not entitled to return to the United States. Her passport can and arguably should be revoked.
So there you have it. I mean, I think that's the most current analysis we have on that. We got calls already coming in. Let's go right to them, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go to Will in Washington State on line four. Will, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I have more of a comment, more than anything. I'm just confused by the Democratic Party and their stance on America and where things stand. It seems like from this ISIS wife to the wall to a lot of different things, they seem to preach on one level how they're American, they're for everybody, this, that, and the other, but at the same time, they seem to be anti-American or everything.
Well, I think here's what you have. They have not, Jordan, politically, you said this, they've not defined their principles yet.
No, I mean, Time Magazine did this big expose. It'll be in the newsstands, but it's already out, and they identified these three categories within the Democrat Party right now. One is the women's vote. And so that's, a key vote for Democrats. It just is. That's just a basic line. That could go a number of different ways politically, but also it's the candidate themselves, kind of what they stand for. One example, Bernie Sanders could do well, not the most necessarily attractive to this broad, what you consider women's vote. And that's number one that Time Magazine has identified. That's not Jordan Sekulow identifying it. That's Time, as they've done this big survey on all the candidates. The second is, they said, progressives. So this new progressive wing that is similar to Bernie Sanders but much younger and again, more diverse. So I think that's why in some of the early polls in one of the southeastern states like South Carolina, Joe Biden is the big leader there. Not as big shock than South Carolina, an undeclared candidate but well-known name, like Joe Biden would be more popular than Bernie Sanders. But one point behind Bernie Sanders is Kamala Harris. Yeah. So in that field, if you take Joe Biden out, Kamala Harris would be kind of the new Bernie Sanders, I think. So what would that do? Well, it would. I think the women's vote would be more interesting. I'm not saying that all women would vote just because it's a woman. That didn't happen last election cycle with Hillary Clinton. But the third element, and the, I think, probably lesser represented because not as loud, but was pretty effective in the midterms, is the pragmatist Democrat. Not necessarily moderate, so don't get that confused. But willing to, you saw they ran a lot of veterans who were candidates, people who had served in the military who had ran as candidates. They didn't get as much national attention now that they're in Congress, but they did well in the midterm elections. So you've got those three different elements that each campaign is going to try to satisfy and put together a coalition that gets them across the finish line. And a Democrat Party that, interesting enough, doesn't have their rules finalized for even how you get the nomination yet. So that's been it was a big question, remember, in the last election with the Sanders supporters because of the role of superdelegates. Their role is going to be limited, it says, but it hasn't been finalized yet.
Yep.
So, and there's 12 states that haven't figured out if they're going to have primaries or caucuses yet.
Yep.
So these campaigns focus everything and say, okay, we know we have to be here with this many staff and here with this many staff. That's not in place yet.
So, Than, how is it, I mean, when you're watching the movements going on Capitol Hill, we've got Senate hearings coming up, House hearings coming up, and you got a number of senators running for president. How is that going to play to the getting anything accomplished legislatively?
Well, I think as in any election cycle, it might be difficult, but I do find it pretty ironic, Jay, that you have the Obama-era policies that are embodied in the likes of former Vice President Joe Biden that somehow now seem pragmatist or moderate or whatever word you want to put on it. I mean, that's pretty shocking that Obama-era policies are the moderate position of the Democrat Party. But look, Jay, I mean, we walked through this the other day. The Green New Deal, the policies inside the Green New Deal are going to get a vote late in the week in the United States Senate. And I think every member of the Democrat Party that's running for Senate from the United States Senate is going to vote in favor of those policies. I mean, most of them are co-sponsors of the legislation. So I think that shows the problem that they're going to have. Look, they might have to run to the left to win the nomination. But Jay, tell me how putting the environmental concerns of low-flying birds over the national security concerns that the president has advanced and won on with his America First policy, tell me how that's going to win across the Rust Belt. I don't see it happening.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Harry, the Green New Deal, which is, you know, kind of the I guess you would call it the, what is it? It's the policy flavor of the month kind of thing, or year maybe?
I think that's correct. It's far from clear that the Democrats have coalesced behind a coherent message other than their commitment to identity politics. But in addition to capitulating to identity politics, many Democrats, particularly those that are running for president, support the socialist Green New Deal. And I think it's very, very interesting if you look at the implications of that support. So it's very, very possible that Bernie Sanders, who is a Democratic socialist, will run into trouble because he supports a particular socialist in Florida. Apparently, he's unwilling to condemn, for instance, Maduro.
Yeah.
And so even Florida Democrats are castigating Bernie Sanders.
And that's, so do you think that's the socialism thing playing out?
I think it is the socialism thing playing out. Democrats, particularly Democratic socialists, they have difficulty condemning authoritarians, particularly authoritarian socialists. And if you look at the Green New Deal, in order to fully implement the Green New Deal, what do you need? You need authoritarian policies. So at bottom, the Green New Deal program will expose, hopefully, many of the Democratic frontrunners as authoritarians. And I think if you look at Kamala Harris's record closely, there is an authoritarian streak in her background.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And this next call is interesting. So this is let's take the phone call.
Minute left. So let's hold. Let's hold it. So John in California, hold on. We'll get you. We come back for the break.
Interesting call.
1-800-684-3110 is the number you call with your opinions. If you are regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, who do you think is the strongest candidate? There's certainly a lot to choose from for the Democrats as they prepare to take on President Trump in the presidential election. There's a lot of. There's already 12 declared. Another 10 or more that could that are likely to declare as well.
And Than, the resolution of disapproval is already, it's one sentence long, you said, and the iron is it specifically cites a statutory grant.
One sentence long, it says, pursuant to Section 2 of the National Emergencies Act, 50 U.S.C. 1622, so they concede, Jay, that they gave the president the authority to do this, but now they want to terminate it.
I'm going to ask Andy that during the break. We're going to talk about that. 1-800-684-3110. We will take your calls and comments. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, especially here at the getting near the end of the month, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 on an open lines Friday. We are talking about the 2020 Democrat field that is coming together. I mean, you literally have 12 who are declared. One more is all but certain. Another two likely to run. That's 13, 14, 15. And then eight more who might run. So a very large field on the Democrat side, kind of similar to what Republicans went through. So you have again, these very large debate stages, maybe even two nights of debates because so many candidates running. A little different than last time around when you basically had two with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, who no one took really seriously at first, and then started doing better and better and made it a real campaign until almost until the end. I mean, Hillary Clinton had to fight off. Let's go to the phones. John in California on line three has a question for everybody and a comment. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call, guys. I love the work that you do. You really, really help light the path.
Thanks, Sean.
You know, it's just great stuff. Yeah. Anyway, thanks. Just about your comment about the Democratic candidates. Do they really have one? I mean, you know, Biden's on the apology tour. Kamala Harris is good in your face, but she's got no substance, but she's, you know, she's aggressive. She's got that, I guess. Cory Booker, again, just another bulldog. I mean, who do they really have? They got the abortion thing coming up on Monday. I mean, I'm glad the record, the book's going to be out there, because who's really going to vote for somebody that says it's okay to kill a baby when it's on a table? I mean, you can argue, you know, I personally believe life is an inception, there's a soul, but that's my personal belief. But
yep.
You know, you can argue when the baby's really a person, like say the personage of the fetus. That's the key. But nobody can argue if it's outside the womb on a table. I mean, why is there a discussion?
No, they do. I mean, for Bernie Sanders' home state, they're putting this forward. It's important. So in Vermont, the House passed legislation that is even more pro-abortion than what happened in New York. So it's moving through the House. Now it goes to the next step in the Senate there. And so, again, this is an issue not that the pro-life community forced on the Democrats, which is what they're trying to act like with the SAS resolutions. Oh, this is a game. Republicans want us to get us on the record. But it's these Democrat-controlled state legislators and state governments, like in New York, that are putting this forward, that have caused this national conversation to be occurring again.
Yeah, and the truth is, Jordan, there's no safe place for them to land, either at the federal level or on the state level. And I can answer the caller's question directly of why they would dispute that it's a human life on the table. Jordan, it's quite simply because if they can see that there is a line to be drawn anywhere, then they have to engage the debate of where that line should be rightfully drawn. And science has shown us over the last couple of decades that it is unequivocally during the pregnancy. I mean, it has shown that a baby feels pain very early on in the process. In fact, the first time a mother goes in for an appointment, Jordan, there is a heartbeat for that child. The pro-abortion left in Washington and across all of these states don't want to engage that debate. So the way they don't engage that debate is they refuse to draw a line anywhere, even if it's a child who is living and breathing on the table in need of medical care. Jordan, a majority of the Democrat Party in the United States Senate is going to go to the well of the United States Senate on Monday and say that that child who has just survived an abortion and needs medical care does not have a legal right to it. That is a travesty.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think it is these Democrat-controlled states, whether it's the state legislature, the governor's office, the state senate, delegates, whatever you've got, that are forcing this issue. And so it is not Republicans, but Democrats who are putting forward these laws and thus causing the country to pay attention to what's going on in the Vermont legislature. But we can go around. I mean, he also asked, is there a standout? I mean, the standout seems to still be the big question. If Joe Biden decides to get in the race, he would be the star. I mean, the other would be like a Michelle Obama type who doesn't like they're going to do it this time and maybe preparing for, another 4 years from now.
Yeah.
Or 6 years from now. But Joe Biden is certainly the big question mark right now.
Yeah, Biden is the guy. I mean, he is, you know, he's been vice president. He was vice president. He's been in the Senate. He's got foreign relations. He was chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. He distinguished himself by the a horrible grilling of Anita Hill during the time that she was attacking Clarence Thomas during his confirmation, so that stands against him. He was accused of plagiarism, I think, in college, so that stands against him. He cozied up to the Wall Street establishment. That is something that is in line against him. But he's a known commodity, and he's a moderate, and that's why I think that he may be the standout at the moment. But in the end, the Democratic Party has moved so far to the left that he doesn't really appeal to the new base of the Democratic Party. Now, if he runs, he's going to get 43 to 45% of the vote no matter what, because that's the way it always turns out. But right now in the field, I mean, he knows he is the recognizable name.
Yeah, the Democrat Party, you know, has three aspects to it right now. It's moving more and more to the left. It is more and more diverse, and it is more and more female, which would seem to answer the question's caller, the caller's question, that Kamala Harris probably would be the strong candidate.
Yep.
Here's the deal: the Democrat Party really is largely out of touch on so many issues, whether it's abortion or socialism or whatever. And so, you know, there's a big section of the country of independent voters and GOP voters who will not vote because they do not believe in the things that the Democrat Party stands for. However, Joe Biden is probably the one candidate who would be the most formidable candidate to Donald Trump. However, he is white, he is older, and he is moderate. And I don't think that Joe Biden could actually get the Democrat nomination. So the question is, what will they do? I think at this time, perhaps they will actually give the nomination at some point to Bernie Sanders, partly because it will help, you know, espouse the socialism that the younger members of the Democratic Party are espousing now. But also, if they really think that no matter who they nominate, that they're not going to defeat Donald Trump, that he will be president again, why not give the nomination to Bernie Sanders and see what he can do? And I think there's a real possibility as this plays out that that might happen.
Harry?
Well, I think Wesley's correct. I think the Democrats have become more extreme on abortion, socialism, and identity politics. And it's doubtful that that plays well in middle America. It's doubtful that people in Wisconsin, in Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania, and Ohio will accept this extremism by Democrats. So the Democrats have a real dilemma. They have a motivated base which is committed to extremism in terms of left-wing policies, and they provide a huge amount of energy to the Democratic Party. As a consequence, I think Wesley's analysis may rule the day. They may simply give the nomination to a left-winger and then say, well, we tried that, and then we will pin our hopes on 2024.
And is there a Washington favorite right now? I mean, is there like what? Yeah, usually those don't make it through, but there usually is someone who's favored by like the Democrat lobbyist and the establishment of the party. Is there any one of this list who's kind of got that group, or is it just a open door crapshoot right now?
I mean, Jordan, I think it's probably Joe Biden, but here's what I think is so hilarious about that. You've got all of these candidates in the field, including people who did very well in the last primary process, like Bernie Sanders. You've got all of them in the field, and 36% of voters, more than double of anybody other candidates, say, let's go back to the policies that just got trounced in the last election. Jordan, that's a pretty sorry state for a party that is trying to take back the White House. I would say Joe Biden's probably the Washington favorite, but again, we just tried that. Didn't work.
All right, folks. 1-800-684-3110. Second half hour. It's an open line Friday.
The thing, though, that Joe Biden could do, I mean, he could do, is with all these others in there running to the left, and he becomes the moderate, there may be a coalescing. We'll see.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, it's an Open Lines Friday, which means we take the calls on the topics you want to talk about. But we had a great Facebook comment came in from Brenda. What is the key voting issue the Socialist Democrats will push during the next election cycle? Green New Deal.
Yeah, I think it is. The Green New Deal encompasses tax hikes, encompasses bigger welfare, social welfare programs, including if you don't even want to work. So not if you're unemployed, but just don't want to be employed. So you've got it's anti the oil and net those industries. So it kind of ticks all of the boxes. I think it's why you still have, even with how disastrous the rollout of it is.
Yeah,
people like Kamala Harris are defending the idea of it. Take a listen.
That? Yeah, by 15.
I didn't talk about the Green New Deal. You mentioned that, and it's a resolution that I supported, and I support the goals. And we're going to have to figure out a way to get there. We've got to realize that so much is happening right now to our planet. And look, I care about the environment, not because I have any particular desire to hug a tree, but I have a strong desire to hug a healthy baby. And this literally comes down to clean air and clean water.
But that's fundamentally not what it comes down to, okay? It comes down to a reordering of the economic structure of a constitutional republic, Harry.
Precisely. So, essentially, if you adopt the Green New Deal, you must adopt an authoritarian agenda. And many Democrats are quite willing to capitulate to authoritarianism. That is, if you will, in the DNA of so-called democratic socialism. Karl Marx has suggested that democratic socialism really is the road to communism, to authoritarianism. And we see the results play out each and every day in Venezuela.
So that is the ultimate outcome of
socialism. And all the listeners have to do is turn on the television sets and watch people who are starving literally in the streets, who are going through garbage dumps in Venezuela today.
Yep. Wes?
Yeah, you know, most of the United States electorate are really moderate. They're not extreme, yep, right or left. And yet the Democrat—
I always say it's right of center, left of center.
Right.
It's kind of where most of the populace is.
Right. The Democrat Party more and more is not moderate. They are not, yep, at the center. And
well, is that why Joe Biden can't— even though he may come out very strong, he doesn't win.
He doesn't. He can't get
the
nomination.
He can't do the primary.
Yeah, he would be the most formidable candidate against the president, and yet he will not be able to get the nomination because he is too moderate. At the same time, what the Democratic Party more and more stands for is, you know, Medicare for all,
yep,
free secondary education, higher taxes, and underlying all of this, more and more government control. If you want the government to control your life, you should probably vote Democrat.
So, Andy, let me ask you this. Your home state,
right,
Georgia, which has been a pretty traditional red state for a couple of decades now, had a very close election for governor.
It was frighteningly close, but it had, I think, to do with the fact that $70 million was poured into Georgia by the Democrats to defeat Brian Kemp and to elect Stacey Abrams. But nonetheless, it came very, very close, and that means, and the reason for that is that the demographics of Georgia have changed so much, and the metropolitan area of Atlanta is now so much in control of what happens in the state.
But that's also true with Texas is closer now. Where do you think Georgia and Texas come out? I mean, I cannot see Doug Jones winning in Alabama in the main election next year.
No, tough with the president on the ballot. I mean, that, we have to remember, President Trump is on the ballot. Voter turnout will be much higher. So spending those kind of resources is
the Republicans
minuscule,
will too.
Is nothing.
Right. Yeah, nothing.
I mean, that's a drop in the hat when you're talking about the presidential year. So, yes, both sides are going to be spending. The candidates are stronger. I think, again, those were two states who are trying to take care of candidates who had gotten dinged a few times already, and they weren't able to pull it off. I think key, yep, to mention, they cannot get to the finish line in most of those races statewide. And I think that they have to look at that. And this issue with, like, what's happening in Venezuela, how that affects Florida, and how Bernie Sanders really causes a lot of trouble still and will continue to cause a lot of trouble for the Democrat Party.
So we've got two briefs filed on the Supreme Court on the life issue, and we're preparing a third Supreme Court brief and another major abortion case right now. Support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. When we come back from the break, your phone calls on this Open Line Friday, 1-800-684-3110. It's 800-684-3110. Back.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. I do want to answer Terry's question. She's calling from North Carolina. I think it's an important question to answer. We've talked about it, but just to make sure people know, there's a vote scheduled next week in the House of Representatives on Tuesday. Terry, welcome to JSEC Hill Live. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the amazing work that you guys do. And
thanks.
I try to do what I can to support
you. We appreciate that.
So with all that said, you know, the national emergency at the border that President Trump initiated, it sounds like Nancy Pelosi is going to put forth some legislation to try to block it. And it sounds like Schumer's on board, of course. So in the Senate, what can be done, and how do you see this playing out? Is it up to Mitch McConnell to take it up?
Let me go right to Than Bennett. Great question, Terry. Really good question. And where are you calling from in North Carolina?
I'm calling from Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Where's Hillsborough? I like North Carolina.
Right next to Durham.
Okay.
To Durham,
all right. We know that area. Great. Well, thanks for listening. All right. So, Than, we've got the proposal. You got the bill. Read it, and then we'll discuss it.
Yeah, it's one page long, Jay, and it comes straight out of the statute that Congress gave the president the authority to declare the national emergency. It says, resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled that pursuant to Section 202 of the National Emergencies Act, the national emergency declared by the finding of the president on February 15th, 2019, in Proclamation 9844, is hereby terminated. Just very quickly, Jay, I do expect it to pass the House, and to answer the caller's question, the Senate would have to take it up sometime in the next 2 weeks. I'm not sure whether it will pass, but even if it does, the president can veto it, so both chambers would have to come up with a two-thirds vote to override that veto. I can tell you this.
Not going to happen. Now, the question is, will it pass the Senate? So does it pass the Senate?
I think there's a chance it might. Susan Collins has said that she is going to vote for it. So that would mean they would need to find three more Republicans to vote for it if every Democrat votes for it. Jay, I think
so
there's
let me go here to Jordan. The likely Republicans that could do this.
Mitt Romney, definitely a likely. Chuck Grassley.
Murkowski.
There you go. I mean, there's your,
Okay. Do you think they can get to two? No. So the president then vetoes, right, Andy?
The president vetoes, and they'll never get to 67 votes to override the veto.
Any way they get there, Than?
I don't think so.
I
agree with that list. I think Mike Lee, too, Jay, I would say, I think it's important for us to say this, too, though. There might be some who would vote for it, and it would not be a statement that the president does not have the authority to do that. They just might favor terminating it.
Yeah, I know there's some, you know, look, some Republicans don't like it. They don't like the precedent it sets, but that doesn't mean it's not constitutional. And that doesn't mean it's not based on statutory authority. It is. But that could be a bit of a showdown when the president comes back from Korea. So we'll see. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yeah, James in Illinois, online too. James, welcome to JSecu Live.
I hope you guys are having a great day.
We are.
My question is this. How can the Democrats argue on one hand that a child born to legal citizens has no rights sitting there alive on a table after, you know, leaving the womb, and on the other hand, argue that an illegal alien that gives birth to a child, instantly that child is given protections under the Constitution? And
yeah, really good question.
I just don't get that.
Great question. So this goes to what we've been fundamentally saying for the last couple of months on the broadcast. To carry the life issue, in other words, to win the life issue, we have to argue for the personhood of the unborn child. What does that mean? That means the unborn child in the womb is a protected person under the United States Constitution, so that all the constitutional protections would be in place, including life, liberty, and protection, and all the due process rights. I mean, you could just go through the Constitution, you go through the Declaration of Independence, you put all our founding documents together, and when you look at the personhood of the child, what do you have then? You have various constitutional rights that would apply. I believe that that is where this argument is going to have to go. Harry, from a legal standpoint, as a professor, what do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. And I think the opponents of life, the burden should be placed on them. Because if you really look at their program, they are more interested in protecting low-flying birds than they are protecting babies who are born on a table. And if you look at the statements of Governor Northam in Virginia, basically he was supporting infanticide. But yet the Democrats, on the other hand, are quite willing to provide citizenship to the child who's born to an illegal. And so these claims make no sense. But I have to give the Democrats credit for their commitment to one thing and one thing only: incoherence. So at the end of the day, their positions are incoherent. They are captivated by identity politics.
Oh, clearly.
So illegal aliens are an identity group that they seek support from.
So
if low-flying birds could vote, they would certainly be actively seeking their support.
They may want to recommend that as part of the Green New Deal.
I thought they could.
I think the birds, though, would object. Remember what they said? The wall would be impacting the birds. That was the basis upon which the National Emergency Declaration is being challenged in court. We did that the other day with a bit of tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is we're also preparing legal briefs on that right now. There's reports that Governor Northam in Virginia, as we just mentioned that, has canceled his first stop on what many has described as an apology tour at Virginia Union University. What do you think's playing out there, Jordan?
I have no idea at this point. I mean, you've got the lieutenant governor, the Democrats don't want him. The attorney general, the Democrats don't want him. And now he's canceling events. I think it's a disaster.
So we've got on our radio panel right now, we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4... Fan, have you lived in Virginia?
Yes, indeed.
All right, so we've got 5 Virginians. That means people that lived in Virginia, the Commonwealth. What do you think's going on here, Harry, on this issue with Governor Northam? Because it's just very interesting that they've gone on this kind of apology tour. What do you think?
Well, I think he's going to remain in office, but he is going to continue to stumble. So I think the first evidence of that was the cancellation of his so-called apology tour. But one of the things that will keep him in office is the fact that the lieutenant governor is flawed and the attorney general is also flawed.
Yeah.
But it's also important to hold his feet to the fire. He apologized for an offensive pitcher, but he did not apologize specifically for being either in blackface or wearing a KKK hood. So was he in the picture? Why did he apologize in the first place?
It was on his page. I mean, the university said it was on his page.
And it was on his page, but I think he will remain in office.
What do you think, Wes?
I think it's absolute chaos. The one thing that we do know, the Democrats in Virginia do not want to give up power, which is why they are not, you know, they're, why they're
I think
sticking.
That's why he stays in power.
That's exactly why. But meantime, the state is really in disarray in Richmond.
Could it put Virginia back in play for the Republicans, or do you think it's too tough with the Is it a purple state, or is it now blue?
It's tougher. I mean, it's still tough for Republicans there. I think.
I mean, like you talking about, a president lost by 2 percentage points. And that was with Tim Kaine on the ticket.
Yeah. I think that, again, Northern Virginia keeps growing, and it keeps getting more and more left. It's why, with a mess like this, they're still in office.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a pretty good. If it was really a middle-of-the-road state, I think they'd say, yeah, let the Republican take over at this point. But it's not. And it's still a state that the Democrats have been able to really with a long strategy, take over almost completely. Almost, not yet, but almost completely.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Andy, who do you think the strongest Democratic, of the list right now, who do you think would be the strongest in a general election?
To beat the president?
Yes.
I think Joe Biden, but they're not going to nominate him because he's too moderate and he's got too much baggage on him. He's too old. He's a white male. He is everything that the Democratic base is running away from right now. They're running to the left, and they're running hard. They're running for Bernie Sanders and his ilk, and that's who they're going
to
nominate.
Don't go to Jordan Fan. Do you think Bernie Sanders is definitely in the top three?
Definitely the top three. Probably throughout the entire campaign.
Yeah.
The question is, does someone like Joe Biden get in, and does someone like Kamala Harris stay within striking distance of Bernie Sanders? She's pretty untested, unlike Bernie. So, for instance, all the people that donated him, the 6 million, have signed up to re-donate. So, I mean, his campaign coffers are going to keep being – he's going to have plenty of money to run his campaign again, and we know that that was pretty popular. Will it be enough under the Democratic Party? I think it's very difficult still for Bernie Sanders to get the nomination and impossible for him to win a general election. But he will continue to be this – he's decided to continue to be a disrupting force. I think that they would have been very happy with him staying out of it and maybe backing – one of these new candidates, but he has not done that, and now he's taking so much of the attention from a Kamala Harris type or the others. I mean, you know, we talk about the others. I mean, you got Cory Booker, Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, who I think has just fell apart out of the gate, Gillibrand from New York. I mean, these are some big state Democrats. You know, these senators who come from very blue states who are going to have serious resources to run campaigns. It's just, are they like Elizabeth Warren's that just fall apart before they even get out of the gate?
Yeah.
And that's going to be the question, is who makes it to the real battle? We know Bernie Sanders can get there.
All right, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Last segment coming up.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people, the Green New Deal, and other extreme measures. We already know that the liberal left has embraced born-alive abortion and the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel BDS movement. And now this dangerous push to embrace socialism. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we've developed a 5-point legal advocacy effort to defeat this socialist agenda. 1. Expose socialism. 2. Prepare critical legal analysis. 3. Show how socialism subverts the rule of law. 4. Battle against it on Capitol Hill. And 5. Hold radical left politicians accountable. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now online, aclj.org.
Last segment of the broadcast coming up. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to take comments. Interesting piece we just ran during the break, and that is involving this ISIS bride, Huda Mathias. We talked about that yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit today. But what's interesting here is she desperately wants to come home, right? That's what they're saying. The fact is, if she comes home, Wes, you're the military guy, you're legally trained, she's going to be indicted.
She will be indicted.
And convicted.
She will be put on trial. She will be convicted. Of
aiding and abetting the enemy.
Yeah.
You could go to jail for life for that.
Right.
Treason.
Decades, at least, in prison away from her 18-month-old son. I can't imagine why she would want to face that.
Except it's so bad in Syria where she is. That's why.
Perhaps. Or she's thinking that she'll get a break. Yeah, sympathy. Yes.
I mean, I have sympathy for the child.
I do, too.
I don't have any sympathy for her.
No.
I mean, God gives grace, so that's fine. But this aspect of she is cohorting with the enemy of the United States. And now at 25 years old, she wakes up and realizes, oh, this was a big mistake.
Yeah, she repents after the caliphate falls.
Yeah, right.
It's how convenient.
Yeah. You know? All right, so we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. 1-0. We've got a couple of comments that came. By the way, Dan, who do you think the strongest candidate in a general election would be for the Democrats?
Yeah, I mean, I think in a general election, it's Joe Biden, because ultimately you're going to have to beat the president across the Rust Belt, and I don't think taking the Green New Deal as a policy.
But you don't think Biden will get the nomination?
I think it's going to be difficult for him to, nope. Because you see all the other candidates tacking to the left because they think they need to do that to get the nomination. So, look, I think Joe Biden's going to have to try to hope for something that is just a bifurcated process where he gets in and wins with the 30% of the vote that he can get.
So Erica says, do you think if Bernie wins the ticket, it all but secures Trump's reelection in 2020? I'll start with Jordan. I'm going to go around there. So let's assume if Bernie is the nominee.
Yeah, I mean, you're always careful to say, yeah, 100%. You don't know every factor that could come into play. I think that he is the strongest in their field and the weakest nationwide. So he's the strongest inside a Democrat primary right now and the weakest when it comes to the American people in a general election.
Andy?
I think if Sanders is the nominee, the president wins. I had earlier said 60%, but I think the president would get 55% because I've predicted and I continue to stick with the
that 45% would vote.
45% is going to go against the president, vote Democrat,
even
no matter what, even for a socialist.
Wes, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there are not enough socialist-leaning millennials in America to carry the day in a national election, and yet the party leadership is so deferential to the left and to the millennials. It's a recipe for losing a national election. If Bernie's the nominee, I think there's no way that most people in Southern and Middle America are ever going to vote for a socialist.
What do you think? Harry.
Well, I agree with Wesley and Andy, but I also think that if Bernie is the nominee, Howard Schultz will get in the race.
Now, I asked you this during the break. So does he go in as an independent? Because as a Democrat, I don't think he's going to get there.
He cannot win the nomination as a Democrat. And if you look at his opening salvos, his analysis that he's offered, for instance, on health care, he's essentially supported some ideas that are supported by mainstream Republicans.
Yeah.
So he would lose as a Democrat in the primary process, but he would attract many middle-of-the-road voters, the kind of voters that the Democrats lost in 2016. They lost voters in Wisconsin, in Michigan, Ohio, and elsewhere, and I think Schultz might appeal to them. And that would ensure that President Trump wins.
A.B. Stoddard was on MSNBC about the issue involving the ISIS bride coming back to the United States. She had an interesting comment. I want to play it.
Her argument is she should come back and serve jail time. It's very complicated, but we can't allow everyone who is brainwashed and radicalized online to come back in and potentially infiltrate again here domestically. So it's a very thorny question, but she took a risk, and she's going to pay the consequences.
Andy, what do you think from prosecutor's
standpoint? She took a risk. She was grown up. She was intelligent, knowledgeable. She was radicalized. She said she wanted to go to Syria. Her family was from the Middle East. She decided to go there. If we have read her comments on the air before, run over them, spill their blood, run over them with trucks, attack them during Veterans Day and Patriots Day and all these events. Now the caliphate has crumbled out from under her, and she wants to run back to what she says is her home, the United States of America. Well, of course she does. And that's the last place that should readmit a person like this. She is a traitor, okay? She ought to be convicted, and she ought to be executed.
All right. Well, that's because of treason.
Because of treason.
All right. So let me go to Jordan on the political move. Let's take Bernie Sanders out of it for a moment. Let's say he's not the one. He doesn't win the primaries enough to get the nomination. Who's the likely leader at that point?
If Joe Biden doesn't get in, I think it's way too early, because these are untested national candidates.
So you think that's the hype make on a lot Kamala
of
bad. Harris.
They've already Kamala most Harris of them have had just not, horrendous not missteps, including
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
So they keep playing her up, but she came out of the gate saying she wanted to take your insurance away, the whole pot smoking thing. I mean, one after another, just goofy steps and bad steps, and also. Yep. Her record as a prosecutor does not add up to how progressive she tries to make herself out to be either. Right. And so she's trying to apologize for that. I mean, she's apologizing for enforcing laws 20 years ago.
Anybody who apologizes as a former prosecutor for what they did in enforcing the law ought not to be president of the United States.
Yeah. If they're apologizing, they probably thought they did something they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
Could be.
All right.
Lynette calling from New York online, too. Lynette, welcome to JSecuLive.
Lynette's calling from New York, but not just New York. She's calling from Long Island. Which is even, so. Yes. As a Long Island guy myself, I will ask you, Lynette, on this Friday, where in Long Island?
I live in Wyandanch.
Okay.
And I work in Woodbury.
Oh, Woodbury. So. Well, I lived in Jericho, so I'm very close to Woodbury. All right, right. Lynette, go ahead.
First of all, thank you so much to you and all of your staff for all you do. God bless you.
Thanks.
And. My question is, did you think that possibly the Democrats would use a similar tactic to what President Trump did when he had Vice President Pence as on his ticket, that in turn drew in large support from, as example, evangelicals and others who perhaps would not have voted for him? So I'm wondering
utilize the ticket in such a way as to appeal to a broader base? I think everybody. I'm going to go to Fan first. I think that would make sense. The question is anything they're going to do necessarily going to make sense right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite possible they try that, but the top of the ticket is always disproportionately important, Jay. I mean, I think maybe what they would do is geographically look for a key state that they need to win, and if Bernie Sanders is the nominee, pick somebody who maybe could compete in the Rust Belt. But, Jay, I mean, we know this. President Trump is going to carry the most weight on the Republican side, and whoever the top of the ticket is on the Democrat side, that is going to be the main contrast.
Well, you know, Bernie says when you support food lines, people stay in line for food, you probably... I'm not going to pick a moderate to be a running mate. Take a look. This is Bernie Sanders back in the 80s. But again, it's all resurfacing because he's put himself out as a national candidate.
Here we go.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
Is it Bernie Sanders or is it...
Is it Larry David?
Is it Larry David? This is great for Larry. I'm a huge Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. This is a great for Larry David. If Bernie Sanders is the nominee, be a lot of Saturday Night Live things. Anyways, that's going to do it for the broadcast. Hey, support the work of the ACLJ. Coming up, we have got a little music for you, Crossroads from the Jay Sekulow Band. We'll play that for you. But again, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. And share this with your friends right now so we can keep you involved in the music of the Jay Sekulow Band. Here we go.
The United States of America must never become a socialist nation. Yet the radical left is trying to force a new socialist agenda on the American people. The Green New Deal and other extreme measures. At the ACLJ, we're committed to this fight, to stop this radical agenda, to stop the destruction of our Constitution. But we can't do it alone. Stand with us. Take action with us. Sign on today to our petition to stop the radical left socialist agenda. Add your name right now, online.